brought to you by the new Bose A20 Aviation Headset. Bose is now introducing their most advanced pilot headset ever, the new Bose A20 Aviation Headset. It provides significantly greater noise reduction than currently available, along with improved comfort, clear audio, and Bluetooth connectivity.
Hello, I'm Glenn Pugh for AvWeb.com. In the last decade, the grievances of air traffic controllers seemed to reach a peak. The FAA failed to negotiate a contract with the controllers union and instead chose to impose working conditions, and that did not breed any goodwill between controllers and the FAA. Controllers had little choice, but they did not go quietly into the night. The union took public positions that their hours were too long, working conditions were bad, positions were understaffed, and the FAA's approach was dangerous for the flying public. Today, we're speaking with a former controller, Robert Mishich. Robert has written a book about his time as an air traffic controller called Crash and Burn. He says it was inspired by the way the FAA operated. Robert, thanks for joining us today.
Good afternoon.
So let's start with the basics. Why'd you write the book?
Well, primarily to educate the public who has an inaccurate and incomplete picture of the FAA's philosophy, practices, and life-endangering errors.
What time frame did you collect the experiences that made up this book? How long were you working as a controller, and if you don't mind me asking, where?
Well, I worked in Miami, and I was a controller for about 20 years, and the book goes all the way back to the 70s to present day.
You said about your experiences that, and this is a quote, the FAA I worked for routinely ignored laws, rules, and regulations, covered up its wrongdoings, and created working conditions that left many controllers destroyed individuals by the time they retired. That's an intense choice of words. Could you elaborate?
Well, let's take a specific example from the book. At the New York TRACON, back in 2006, there was some maintenance going on the engine generators, which are run on diesel, and diesel exhaust fumes got into the radar room. The controllers were quickly overcome by carbon monoxide fumes and exhibited the familiar signs, nausea, dizziness, etc. And instead of the FAA allowing the controllers to leave their positions and go outside for fresh air or to seek medical attention, the FAA forced the controllers to remain on duty at their radar scopes. And when the controllers told the operations manager that they were going to call the fire department, he told them that if they did, he wouldn't allow them on the premises. As far as I know, nothing ever happened to the operations manager, but we had thousands of lives at risk because these controllers were being overcome by carbon monoxide fumes. Some of them were later treated at the emergency room for exposure. And yet no one in the FAA was held accountable. And as far as I know, the operations manager is still on the job.
Now, a lot may have changed since then. At least some people who are optimistic might think so. The FAA and controllers caught a lot of attention with a couple of high-profile incidents that involved non-responsive towers where controllers were alleged or found to be asleep at the time of an incoming flight. Has that spotlight rectified any of the problems, or are the problems so widespread and in so many different areas that something like that has little effect?
Well, they're too widespread. There are just too many fires that need to be put out at the FAA. But when you're talking about controllers falling asleep, specifically, controllers work what's known as a rattler schedule, which requires them to work two shifts within 24 hours twice in a four-day work week. And that's a big problem. Last summer, the National Air Traffic Controllers Association and the FAA signed a memorandum of understanding to give controllers 9 hours off between shifts instead of eight. But in my estimation, that's really just a Band-Aid approach. They need to come up with something different. As a matter of fact, the scientists at the FAA's Civil Aerospace Medical Institute concluded in a study back in 1975 that the schedules that controllers were working then as they're working now are no good, and the FAA needed to change that and do something different.
Well, what's a typical shift for an air traffic controller?
Well, controllers would typically work a different shift every day, with now 9 hours off between shifts. And then, of course, you have the drive time home, the downtime, relaxing, trying to get some rest, and then turn around and come back to work. You know, the biggest problem used to be on your Thursday, you may go in at 7 o'clock in the morning and finish at 3 o'clock and then come back the same night at 11 p.m. and work until 7 a.m. the next day. And there's no way that you were well-rested enough or alert enough, especially 3, 4 o'clock in the morning when you're trying to stay awake and perform your job.
Has the FAA responded to those concerns? Are there any system in place to help controllers stay up? Are there two controllers mandated on shift at overnight times?
Well, they have increased the staffing on the MIDS, allegedly. They have two people at least on the MIDS. The rest of it's really up to the controller. If they feel that they may be getting sleepy or drowsy, they could stand up and walk around. If it's practical, turn the volume up in their headset, drink coffee. Things of that nature, but that's about it.
Well, now, over the years, aside from these issues, there's been this sort of impending doom that a large number of controllers will be reaching retirement age, that attrition will be dropping a bunch of controllers out of the picture, and that the FAA is not training enough controllers fast enough to get them in with enough experience to really take over at some of the busier facilities. Is it your feeling that those concerns have been sufficiently addressed?
No, absolutely not. As a matter of fact, this year, 2012, approximately 7,100 controllers will turn the mandatory retirement age of 56, and as many as 11,000 could leave over the next decade. When you go back to 2006, when the work rules were imposed by Marion Blakey and her management staff, that was late in 2006, controllers started leaving in droves. And by January of 2008, there were only 11,000 air traffic controllers, which was the lowest number since the 81 PACO strike. And in addition, that year, the FAA began losing controllers at a rate of 6 per day. And nearly all air traffic control facilities are understaffed. They may have hired a bunch of controllers or a bunch of trainees. You know, the FAA likes to tell the Congress that they have 15,000 air traffic controllers, but the reality is they have far fewer, because they have so many people in training and they're not able to train quickly enough. There are a lot of controllers sitting around essentially twiddling their thumbs waiting to progress through the training program. Controllers don't grow on trees. They aren't certified overnight. It could take anywhere from 3 to 5 years to become fully certified in an air traffic facility.
With what are the problems that you see that are the biggest that need to be addressed, and what are the consequences of those problems? And I guess most important, how can it be fixed, in your opinion?
Well, the biggest problem is the staffing, and the controllers are stressed enough as it is. A lot of facilities are working mandatory overtime. You know, they're working 6 days a week, New York, Los Angeles, places like that. And in addition to that, all the certified controllers are training new people, and that'll probably continue until the certified controllers actually retire. So that's an added stress on the controllers. Right now, from 25 to 30% of the entire workforce is now in some form of training, and that's up from about 15% in 2004. So the system is primed for failure. I think there's an increased likelihood of a catastrophic mistake. Obviously, the answer is to hire more controllers, but again, there's a backlog in the training departments. They can't get people trained enough, fast enough, and this is a problem that they should have foreseen. I'm sure that they knew it was a possibility, at least, and they're way behind the power curve now. They needed to start hiring these trainees years ago, in the early 2000s. As far as a fix, again, they need to hire, they need to train more efficiently and faster, if at all possible. But other than that, the Congress has got to amend the FAA's legislative charter and eliminate the FAA's rule in promoting air commerce and making safety its sole mission. Right now, the FAA is tasked with doing both, and when that happens, safety takes a back seat.
Well, now, if all goes well, next gen is coming, and I suppose at some of the busiest facilities coming fairly soon. What impact do you think that GPS-oriented flight guidance could have on controller operations?
Well, right now, they're having site-specific problems with next gen. Every facility is different. Their airspace is different. Next gen is an evolution from a ground-based system of air traffic control to a satellite-based system. One of the premises is that pilots or aircraft will be able to fly closer together, but all the pilots that I meet, they want to talk about next-gen and the ATC system in general. But when you ask them, do you want to fly closer to another aircraft, and they all say no. I think that the truth about next-gen won't be obvious to everyone until a lot of taxpayers' money has been spent and the contractors have gotten rich. So I don't see technology as the magic bullet to cure the air traffic control woes.
We've been speaking with Robert Mishich. His book is Crash and Burn. It's available online at Amazon.com and on his website. I'm Glenn Pugh for AvWeb.com. Thanks for listening.
Brought to you by the new Bose A20 aviation headset, Bose is now introducing their most advanced pilot headset ever, the new Bose A20 aviation headset. It provides significantly greater noise reduction than currently available, along with improved comfort, clear audio, and Bluetooth connectivity.